you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
LAist Studios.
A good Sunday to you. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report from LAist 89.3. I'm Julia Paskin, and coming up after the news, there's no question the San Bernardino Mountains have had an unusually tough winter with new records set for snowfall. We ask some folks who live there about how they've been coping and what it's like navigating life in an area prone to extreme weather. That's coming up in just a few minutes, but first, here's the news.
Families getting food assistance through CalFresh are about to get a lot less support. For the last 3 years, CalFresh beneficiaries have received an additional allotment under emergency pandemic orders, but federal legislation has ordered it to sunset. Orange County Social Services Agency Director Ann Tran says that's $30 million less per month to help feed Orange County residents, and that's going to have consequences for the local economy.
For every dollar of CalFresh benefits, they usually spend that within their community on local markets, and it generates $1.79. So there is a multiplier effect for every CalFresh dollar.
Tran recommends contacting social services to see if there are other support available to alleviate the financial strain. In the meantime, he says the agency will be directing more people to local food banks and pantries. To organizations such as Second Harvest Food Bank in Orange County, CEO Claudia Keller says those who come to the Orange County Second Harvest will find a lot more nutritious foods, as the food bank has prioritized healthy options.
So we have approximately 40 acres under management right now where we grow our own produce. Our nutrition policy, which influences our sourcing guidelines, states that we only buy nutritious food.
She says there are still plenty of less nutritious snacks available, such as the annual donation of excess Girl Scout cookies. Keller says inflation has driven up demand at the food bank and expects the expiration of CalFresh benefits to bring in even more people. California may soon have a better idea of what happens to wine grapes exposed to wildfire smoke. Lawmakers have advanced legislation setting aside $5 million from the state budget to pay for research on smoke taint and how to prevent crop damage. Assembly Democrat Cecilia Aguiar-Curry wrote the measure.
This bill is more than just doing great research in this space. It will help to identify and create market-ready solutions that can be applied before a crop is planted or harvested.
The bill has passed the Assembly Agriculture Committee and goes next to appropriations. Data shows California wildfires in 2020 alone were estimated to have cost wineries and wine grape growers more than $3.5 billion. Those costs were seen both in the immediate fire losses and also in future sales. Students in the UC system will have more opportunities to study issues related to the labor market. Five new labor centers are opening on campuses across the state. Tobias Higby directs the UCLA Institute for Research on Labor and Employment and says the centers will be places
where scholars produce research and collaboration with community organizations and labor unions to address emerging and longstanding problems. Try to, you know, expand the domain of workers' rights in the state of California.
Higby says each campus will engage with the local labor community to address regional challenges. The $13 million expansion will bring labor centers to UC Davis, Irvine, Riverside, San Diego, and Santa Cruz. They join the three existing labor centers at UCLA, Berkeley, and Merced. Another one is in the works at UC Santa Barbara. And in other news, the East LA Civic Center Metro Station will soon be dedicated in honor of former LA County Supervisor Gloria Molina. The LA Metro Board voted unanimously last week to honor her work as a proponent of mass transportation. Molina announced earlier this month that she has a very aggressive form of terminal cancer. LA County Supervisor and Metro Board member Hilda Solis.
I am truly honored to lead this effort to dedicate one of her most treasured legacies, the East LA Civic Center station, in her honor, for her work, her tenacity, for her ganas, and for being one of those Chicanas that never look back.
It's a big day for the Hammer Museum in Westwood as it celebrates nearly two decades of renovations. The museum is unveiling the completion of the Linda and Stuart Resnick Cultural Center on Wilshire and Westwood Boulevard today. The new building adds new galleries and a sculptural garden. Museum Director Ann Philbin likens the decades-long project to a magic trick.
It all happened right in front of everyone, but they didn't necessarily know it was happening. The galleries were renovated. We built the bridge, which was probably the most significant architectural gesture that happened internally. It was the bridge that joined the two sides of the museum.
The new building sits across the street from the future site of the Metro Purple Line station. If you'd like to check it out, admission is free, as it has been since 2014. With a little input, ChatGPT will spit out a poem. DALL-E will make you into a painting. Alexa and Siri will search the net for you. AI already is in our everyday lives, but where it's all going is yet to be seen. A new research center at USC will explore the potential and the ethics of artificial intelligence. For more, I spoke with Ishwar Puri, Senior Vice President of Research and Innovation at the university, and he described the interdisciplinary approach to studying AI.
The initial projects for the center are twofold. One is to look at the impact of generative AI on arts, media, culture, communications. And the second one is to look at the impact of generative AI on education. We are trying to bring the technology into focus in order to study the impacts of generative AI on society. How people use it, what the implications are, whether it will enhance creativity, whether it will enhance training, education, or if it will be a challenge or a barrier to all of these activities.
I read that there will be a focus on both innovation and ethics when it comes to all of these things that you've mentioned. I do want to ask you about the future of AI and morality. But let's talk a little bit first about innovation. Could you give us an example of a way that AI will appear in entertainment that perhaps the center would research?
So AI is already entering entertainment all the way from creation to consumption. Every time, you know, a user consumes something on a streaming platform, there's an AI algorithm that tries to understand the choice. If you rate it, for instance, that's data that AI agents essentially take in order to provide recommendations for you. And so users are already exposed to AI algorithms. Creators have started using AI algorithms as well. And there are very broad-based implications for creativity. What AI does is it scrapes information from a variety of sources. And today, for instance, you can use AI algorithms and AI tools like DALL-E 2 to create artwork. And the entertainment industry has used AI algorithms to put video clips together.
Getting into artificial intelligence and ethics, it's a very large subject. Could you give us an example of one way to start looking at that conversation?
Think about the controversy over sampling when sampling first appeared in the music industry. There was a lot of discussion about whether sampling was creativity or it wasn't creativity, but sampling now is used very widely, and it's seen as a form of creativity when it's done in a particular way. So if you extend that to the integration of video, film, audio, multimedia, as it used to be called, the question then is, what is creativity? How can we take years or decades or millennia of creativity and enhance that creativity rather than using that creativity in a very static or sometimes even stultifying manner?
That is Ishwar Puri, Senior Vice President of Research and Innovation at USC, telling us about the university's new Center for Generative AI and Society. Thank you so much for being with us and telling us about this new area of study.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Welcome back to the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. Residents of the San Bernardino Mountains had to brace for yet another storm last week after already dealing with record-setting snowfall last month. The latest storm threatened homes and businesses with heavy snow and high winds. Our own Jill Replogle spoke with some residents about how much the extreme weather this year has tested their resolve and how they handle living in a place prone to bad winter storms.
It's been nearly a month since residents living between Crestline and Running Springs were buried in 8 to 12.5 feet of snow. The roads are finally cleared, but the damage to homes and businesses is everywhere. Sunny Lee didn't have to stray far from her coffee shop on the main drag in Crestline to show me the damage. Oh, that's why you have the tarp over it? Her storage shed caved in. The garage at the next door car dealership caved in. The roof of another adjacent building dangerously bowed. The snow was just too heavy.
A lot of damage.
Many houses in the town.
Predictions for the incoming storm pale in comparison to that last bout of extreme weather. But with forecasts for wind gusts up to 85 miles per hour and possibly several feet of snow, the community is worried about the added strain on their leaky homes and businesses. 10 minutes east in Twin Peaks, firefighters finished up their second day of plowing the driveway of a disabled man. The man had just returned home after spending 15 days at a storm shelter. I tromped through the snow along the side of the house and ducked under the cracked eave of his roof to knock on the second floor entrance.
Hello.
68-year-old Thomas McKenzie invited me in to talk about what he called the winter hell he had survived. McKenzie suffered a stroke 3 years ago. He has trouble communicating and he gets tired easily. Part of his roof cracked under the weight of the late February snow.
I was making some food. And it felt like the house went, I had a crash, and I felt the house move.
His neighbor heard it, too, and called for help. Sheriff's deputies came to get McKenzie out, but there was so much snow that he had to scoot over it on his belly to get to the road.
It looked like a seal walking across the sand.
Now he's back in his dilapidated house. It's unclear whether it's safe, but at least it's warm, unlike the shelter, he said.
It's so cold there. From night to day, it doesn't matter. It stayed just about 62, 63 degrees. So I'm happy, but still bewildered of what's next.
Back toward Crestline, three women picked up free cat litter and food from a distribution center set up by Mountain Area Mutual Aid.
Do you have a lot of cats?
Two, so this is good?
Like many people here, Gloria Escobedo hasn't been able to work in weeks.
¿En qué trabaja usted?
Limpiando casas, pero pues no se podía entrar a las casas.
Escobedo cleans homes for a living. She said bills have piled up, and gas and electricity are especially high because of the cold weather.
Tenemos biles, tenemos renta, tenemos todo, no nos espera, y sin trabajar.
After the women leave, volunteer Eva Tarakova worked to weigh down the remaining supplies, mandarins, canned food, diapers, as the wind picked up and the rain came down harder.
There's a lot of need, and there's going to be a lot of need for a really long time.
She told me the organization is trying to find a more permanent spot, indoors, where people can continue to pick up free food and supplies. But San Bernardino County officials are already winding down their food distribution sites, and the Red Cross already closed its shelter at the high school. Meanwhile, residents are preparing themselves, mentally and physically, for more snow. For LAist 89.3, I'm Jill Replogle.
Thank you for listening to the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm Julia Paskin. We'll be back tomorrow with the AM and PM editions to deliver you more of what's happening in LA and Southern California. Until then, you can read more at LAist.com or listen live anytime on the LAist app or on the radio on 89.3 FM. The LA Report is produced by Michael Cosentino. Catherine Mailhouse is the Director of Content Development. Our editor is Megan Garvey, and our engineer is Sean Corey Campbell. Support for this podcast is made possible by Gordon and Donna Crawford, who believe that quality journalism makes Los Angeles a better place to live.
LAist Studios.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.